أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all glories for our Lord, the most merciful, the most kind, and salutations and peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in this journey, the journey of Ibadur Rahman, we have been stepping in the footsteps of these true merciful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah azza wa jal recognizes as His true servants and slaves, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded for eternity, that these are my true servants and these are the people whom I want you to be like and to follow in their characteristics and in their traits. So we began with how they walk with humility and they speak with dignity, and how they spend their nights in sajda and spend their nights in qiyam, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And previously, we learnt that their plea, that their dua, that their call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the nights and during the day is, O Allah, protect us from Jahannam and from the azab of Jahannam. Not just Jahannam, but also the punishment of Jahannam. Inna azabaha kana gharama. And we learnt how severe the punishment of Jahannam is and what will happen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and protect our family members from Jahannam and the azab of Jahannam. Today, insha'Allahu al-Aziz, we continue and we come on to the next ayah. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُصْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And this is a beautiful verse, as are all of the verses of the Quran, but this is, mashallah, a beautiful one, describing the physical characteristics of what they actually do in a daily, day-to-day basis with their interactions with other people and also with their wealth. That the ones who spend, when they spend, they're neither extravagant in their spending and neither are they stingy or miserly in their spending, but rather they are moderate and they are balanced and they take the middle path in their spending. And this is a very important part, because the world that we live in a very, very indulgent and excessive world. We all like to show off, we all like to have the latest bling and whatnot. And if we don't have it, we are told by the banks and everyone, here, come, take credit and do what you want and buy what you want. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about how they deal and how they live their lives in a very, very balanced and moderate manner. So the first thing that we learn from this particular verse of the Quran, that the Ibadur Rahman, they're not Ibadur Rahman who we assume in our mind. Normally when you say Allah the Banda, we assume what? That he just sits in the masjid all day, tasbih pakri, Allah, Allah, Allahu, and that's it. Give some khajur, give some zamzam and pani and tike. Eh? Allah the Banda. But no, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remove this notion of who Ibadur Rahman is. That don't assume this, that these Ibadur Rahman are just there sitting in the masjid all day and they have no money and they have no business and they have no other thing in their life and nothing else to do, and they've divorced the dunya and they're just sitting there in their jubbah and their topi with their tasbih, with their kujura and zamzam, just saying Allah, Allah. No, this is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing Ibadur Rahman. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا, that He's saying that these Ibadur Rahman, they actually have money. Don't think of these people as ordinary people, give us malangi, and no. These people, the Ibadur Rahman, have money. But the key thing is, they're not distracted by their wealth. They're not absorbed by their wealth. They're not taken away, going to the dunya because of their wealth. No, in spite of having all of this wealth, they're still Allah ki bande. They still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of ways. In the way that they walk, in the way that they talk, in the way they do sajda and qiyam, and all of these things, these are ibadur rahman, having this beautiful balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all the verses of the Quran, reminds us, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That these rijal mean men, not the men that we find these days. They don't even know whether they're true men, real masculine men, real men, and just like real women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these true men, that business and trade and transaction, none of these things distract them from the true purpose, which is the remembrance and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these rijal, these ibadur rahman, are those who have money, but the money doesn't distract them away from salah. How many people have high-flying jobs? MashaAllah, they make 100,000, they make 150,000, or they're much more than that, or they have so much things, but because of all of their meetings, because of their work, you'll never see them in the masjid. Illa masha'Allah. Except for a janazah, except for Eid, except for Ramadan, except for something, because they're so busy in the dunya that they don't have time for anything else. So Allah is saying, my people, they make time for me and they make time for dunya. They have the dunya, but they still come to me in spite of the dunya. So they earn their livelihood in the best of way, and they earn and they spend it in a responsible way. And this is a very important thing that we will discuss today, that the sense of accountability in how you earn and how you spend, and they spend, always being conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them, and they need to spend in a moderate manner, in a cautious manner, to make sure that they balance and they do not go too much into the dunya and neither towards the other extreme as well. So being religious, this is a very important thing, being religious doesn't mean by default you're poor. Unfortunately, in Pakistan and all the other countries, and even in this country, whenever we see a religious man, we say, bichara, you know, Maulvi sahab, Imam sahab, and the X, Y, and Z. We think of them as poor people. But they may be poor because of the dunyawi wealth, but the reality is they're very, very rich. You know, you work and you get your money's worth. When we teach and when we do certain things, every time that person does something good, we get all of their reward, as we will get for their future generations as well. That's just spiritual reward, but even physical reward as well, monetary reward. The true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not necessarily poor. This is a wrong notion. And I'll give you very beautiful examples from the Sahaba Ikram. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, and he was a great Sahabi. And he was recorded and is considered to be a multi-billionaire of his time. Not just a person who is making ends meet, but a billionaire of his time. I'll give you some examples later on. Similarly, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and he was known as a very, very rich merchant of his time. He used to free so many slaves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pay off so many debts. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam also mentions that the wealth of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq has benefited me more than all of the Sahaba. The wealth of Abu Bakr on one side and all of the Sahaba's wealth on one side. This is how much wealth Abu Bakr gave in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even though Sahaba Ikram would compete with him, he would give everything. But he had to have that in the first place to give it. You understand? How did he have it? Because he was a rich person. But they chose to spend their time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not with the dunya. Similarly, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala, and he was also a millionaire of his time. I'll give you a simple example, that he supplied and supported the army of the Muslims 2 times. Now imagine buying horses, buying camels, buying saddles, buying the armor, buying the shields, buying the food, buying everything, supporting a full army, not once, but twice. How can you do that if you don't have wealth? So the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't just always think of them as poor people. No, these are very, very rich people, affluent people, but they do not let their richness get to them. Look at the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He had the keys to all of the treasures of dunya and jannah. But look at how simple he lived his life. Similarly, these are ibadur rahman. They live very, very simple and humble lives. Their walk is humble. Their speech is dignified. The way they carry themselves and even the wealth that they have, it doesn't contaminate their hearts or infiltrate their hearts. They make sure that they spend their life in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just because you're religious doesn't mean you have to be poor. But what's important of Ibad al-Rahman, that in spite of having wealth, the one thing that they do not do is they do not show off. And this is the difference, because people who do have money, you will see them with their bling. You will see them the way that they carry themselves, and oh, Ibad Amira, the way that, you know, the way they talk, the way they behave, etc. Because they're showing off, they're exuding their wealth. But people like Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, and many other great Sahaba ikram, they would not show off their wealth. They would not be extravagant in their wealth, but they were neither miserly as well. So they're not extravagant and neither were they stingy, but rather the Ibad al-Rahman, they were moderate and they were balanced in the way that they carried themselves. And this is one of the great characteristics of our deen, that we are not extremes. We are not bus Allah Allah and that's it and go away to all of the caves and Masjid Bajo. And neither are we extreme or we just go dunya, dunya, dunya. We're in the middle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. I have made you the moderate, the balanced nation. We have two eyes, one eye on the deen, one eye on the dunya. But our heart is always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are balanced in everything that we do. So if you want to be from Ibadur Rahman, as well as all of the other characteristics that we've discussed, of making sure that you walk in a dignified manner, you speak in a dignified manner, and in a humble manner, and that you call on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night, and do qiyam and sajda, and you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also you live a balanced and a moderate life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that whenever they spend, they can only spend if they have money. So this first thing that we learn from this particular verse, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا, that they never be extravagant in their spending. They never do excess or overindulgent in their spending or cross their limit. First and foremost, they never spend anything of their halal wealth on anything haram. This is a very important thing to do. Even if you spend 1 pence, on something haram, that is considered to be israf, extravagant, excessive, and you will be sinful for that. And similarly in Islam as well, even you are excessively spending on halal things as well, that can also inevitably become haram, because it becomes too much of something is also bad for you as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they're not extravagant, they're not flamboyant, they're not ostentatious in the way that every week is a new car or a bigger home or a new watch or something else, or you see them with all of this, their bling, etc. No, they are moderate and they are balanced in the way that they carry themselves. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, and not يَقْتُرُوا comes from إِقْتَار. Neither are they miserable. Are they stingy or they're tight-fisted. You know, proper kanjus, as they say in our language, or proper bakhil, stingy especially. These are not the type of characteristics that Ibad al-Rahman have. Neither extravagant and neither stingy. They are there in the middle. كَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. I'll give you some Islamic principles as well, that even in halal things, how if you are excessive in halal things, even that becomes a sin. Now, three Sahaba, no ordinary people, three Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I fast consecutively, day after day after day after day, I never stop fasting. And the second Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, that I stay up all night, I never go to sleep. All night I'm awake, and then during the day as well, I'm doing whatever I need to do. Then the third Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, that I never go near any woman. I will never marry another woman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to all three of them, you're all extremes. You're all doing israf. You're all doing excess. He said, are you better than me? No, you're not better than me whatsoever. I get up in the middle of the night, I pray as well as I sleep. I fast and I break my fast and I have days before, you know, between my fast as well. And I marry and I have children and I have family as well. So even that you might think, oh, main badi ibadat karta hu, badi ibadat. No, even in excessive ibadah, there's israf, there is excess. And that is even forbidden as well. So the Prophet ﷺ told them all after, don't do any of these things. Don't fast consecutively. Don't not marry. And neither, obviously, just stay up all night. Similarly, and once a Sahabi, as you know, in and around Medina, there were small masjids around Masjid al-Nabwi. So once a person came back after his farming, long day at work, just the way we have in Pakistan as well, long day, very, very hot day, and he went to read Isha. and he went to read Isha, and the Imam who was reading the Isha at that time, he started reading Surah Al-Baqarah. And he thought, Honta khairkuni, that I've come here after a long day, I'm tired, it's been a hot day. This Imam started the Surah Al-Baqarah, and that's it, what am I going to do? So he broke his salah, and then he read his own four farz of Isha, and then he went home. And this Imam who was leading the salah, he went to the Prophet the next day. He said, oh, Ya Rasulullah, that sahabi of yours, he's a hypocrite, he's a munafiq. Why? Because I was reading Surah Al-Baqarah, reading salah, and he left my salah, and he read his own salah. And the Prophet told him off, that do you not care that people work all day, and they are tired, and they have families, and there you are thinking that you can read all of Baqarah, and you have no concern for your muqtadis? No, be moderate. Be balanced in your salah as well. Don't read all Surah Al-Baqarah. It's no small surah. 2.5 spare, you know. And imagine the way they read and the way we read is very big difference. So again, excessiveness even in ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him off as well. A woman came to Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she said that even in my period, a woman has a menstrual period, even in my period I still pray my salah. And she said to her, you're an extremist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this period of relaxation, of a break, and who are you to say, no Allah, I don't want it, and I still want to read my salah. So again, you can see, israf isn't just in the haram things that we do that we know, like gambling or anything else. No, israf, which is anything excess, had se ziyada, even in our religion, is forbidden by our deen. We need to be balanced. There's a time for your ibadah. There's a time for your family. There's a time for your work. There's a time for you as well. You need to balance in all of these things and not do israf upon yourself. So even in our deen, talking too much is considered to be excessive. The Prophet ﷺ would only speak which was sufficient. He would only speak enough so people could understand. Not, lamia, lamia. We know we go to certain programs and jar jar, panch ban gente. No, bhaiyo. The program should be short and sweet, to the point. Do one tilawa, one naat, or two naats at most. Do the speech, half an hour for 45 minutes, so that people can enjoy where they are and not bear back. Their mind is so tired that they don't learn anything. And then badichvi, then they soga langa, then ke, what was the point? Short and sweet. Even in talking, when you're talking to your family, your friends, or mahfils, you should keep them succinct. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala would rarely ever go past 40 minutes or an hour. The Jummah used to be short and sweet, 20 minutes, half an hour, that's it. All of his other khutbat as well. Even israf in eating as well. It's forbidden. Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, yes, eat. But eat which is sufficient for you. Drink what is sufficient for you, but don't overeat and don't overdrink. How we have so much obesity, we have so many medical problems, so much going on in this world, especially in first world countries, because we are eating too much and we're eating all the time. We are drinking all the time. Again, it's excess, even though it is halal. Don't do excess in your sins. Don't do excess in your spending. Don't do excess even in your clothing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam barely had two or three cloths. Pieces of cloth, clothing that he would wear. Go home now, including myself, we open up our wardrobes and we've got 40, 50, 60 clothes there. Some clothes that we haven't even worn for a year, perhaps even more. No, one day I'll wear this. An ugly, I'll definitely wear this. I'm just waiting for that right moment, and you'll die before that right moment comes. So we do israf even in our clothing, and especially for the ladies. Every season it has to be the latest fashion. Every season it has to be the latest footwear and jewelry and everything has to match, etc. They do so much israf in their clothing that, you know, it should physically make you puke. That why are we wasting so much time in the clothing as well? Similarly with sleeping as well. We sleep too much. You know, we remember on Jummah Khutbah, we sleep almost 23 years of our lives. Just sleeping 8 hours, 10 hours a day. Just sleeping. So there's israf even in sleeping as well. There's israf even in wudu. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said that even if you are at the bank of a river, and telling the Sahaba off, even if you are at the bank of a river is what? Constantly flowing water and water, gallons and gallons of water, even there, do not waste water. Our children, including ourselves at home, full kuniya, brushing away, water is just getting wasted. We're washing our dishes and the water is just getting wasted. We're doing our wudu, wasted water. Open the tap, do what you need to do, and that's it. You know the Coke cans that we have? They're about 200-300 ml, if that's something like that. The Prophet ﷺ would, half of that, he would do water with that. He would do wudu with that amount of water. Half of that can. And here we are, if you would ever measure the amount of water that we use for our wudu, it would probably be gallons of water that we use. No doubt. And how much water we waste here in the masjid as well. Even in wudu, we shouldn't be wasting water. Look at how much time we waste in pursuance of games. Football game, 90 minutes, ana, jana, cricket matches and test series, and especially when we're on the console. You start at 9 and look at the clock, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're just so engrossed in this different world, we're being excessive even in our hobbies, even in our pastimes with our games. And if you come to our weddings, astaghfirullah min zalik, you can see for yourself how much israf, how much excess we have in our weddings. Unne do disha payan main tin farsa, unne char rakhi main panj raksa. He had this many starters, I'm going to have double the starters. They had this stage, I'm going to get a bigger stage. They had 3 cars, I'm going to get 5 cars. Look at where our weddings have come now, astaghfirullah. It's like a buying half a house. It's at least 40, 50,000 pounds we end up spending, no doubt. Dry hire of a building, it's just 15 to 20,000 pounds. Add the food, add the stage, add the videography, add all of these things and 40, 50,000 pounds. Sona and dowry and everything else, that's later. Is this not israf? Is this not excessive? Do you think we'll be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is this why I gave you 40,000 pounds for, to waste on one day? Where people will still not be happy. Khana thanda si, marj masala sahi nahi si, eh si, oh si, dula dulan late hai, ye hoya, wo hoya, why? You're better off giving them a simple khana. Let them eat and give the remaining in charity. Or give the remaining to somewhere where it will benefit other people. Or buy a house, mortgage free, interest free. But no, we will waste lavishly on weddings, on parties, on child showers. This new rivaj is coming again from the India, from other places as well. Baby showers. Are they free? We already know you're having a baby. Whatever was in your naseeb, you will receive that when the baby is born. Why do you need to have a baby shower? Gaud, barayid, all these other things. It's excessive. It's excessive. These child showers are again. Birthdays again. Yes, come together as a family. Alhamdulillah, say thank you to Allah for giving you life, for giving you iman, for giving you family. Do a small khatam together and thank Allah for whatever you have. Why do you need to go big and beyond? It's my child's first birthday. I have to get a clown, I have to get a bouncy castle, I have to get this. It's their 5th birthday, it's their 10th birthday. All of these milestones, you know, what are we doing? You have to really reflect on these things. I'm not saying that they are inherently haram, but you have to ask yourselves, are you borderlining and going in towards extravagance and excessiveness? Again, wasting food and drink and cars, the amount of cars that we do, especially on weddings, or just generally as well, every 6 months, every year, every 2 years, every 3 years. Our buzurgs, you know, they're all here. They used to have one car. I know my own father, one car he'd had for 15, 20 years. Chaldi re, that's it. You know, whereas we, every 6 months, year, 2, 3 years, we need to have a new car. It's not haram to have a new car. Alhamdulillah, it's a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as long as it's necessity. And then you're not being over excessive in that as well. And look at our homes as well. Itte vi koti, all of these things. We're buying and thinking all of these things. But we don't know we're ever preparing for our grave. What are we preparing for our grave? What kind of sajawat are we doing for our grave? What our preparation are we doing for our grave? So mobiles, children, wives, hiring cars, all of these things, before you do anything halal, to make sure that you don't turn that halal into something which is haram. Because you're taking something which is good, and because you're being so excessive in it, that you're going into the red, and then you're making it haram for yourself. I'll just give you some basic statistics. 2.5 billion tons. Now just try to imagine that one ton is 1,000 kilograms. And this is 2.5 billion tons of food is wasted every single year in the world. Imagine that now. Allah's given that food to us. He's descended the rain from the heavens. He's given us crops. He's given us everything. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُ All of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But up to 40% of the food that is produced in the world is wasted every single year. 2.5 billion tons. Imagine the space and the volume and the area that it would cover. 1.7 trillion. Billion pehle, trillions after. 1.7 trillion gallons of water are wasted every single year by humans. It's something really that we need to understand. 825 million people die every single year due to malnutrition. What does that mean? They don't have enough food. They don't get the right amount of food. How many people? 825 million people are dying every year. But what are we doing? We're throwing away 2.5 billion amount of food. Even it starts from the home. I've been to many homes where half the plate is there, chalo theek adda ta kha liya, and then the rest goes in the bin. Why? We go to weddings and how much waste of food? No. Me and my wife, we call each other the food dustbin. Whatever our children leave, we make sure that they eat as much as they can. Whatever they leave, me and my wife eat it. We do not allow it to go into the bin. This is something that we have to do because we are still accountable. We earned the food, we earned the money, we bought the food, we purchased it, we gave it. And if our children throw it away, they're masoom. We are responsible. Why are we throwing it away? Just turn it into compost. Feed the pigeons or something else. Eat it yourself. Don't throw it in the bin. You will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why were you so excessive? But there your child only has three fish fingers. Make three. Why make five? You know your child only has a half a plate. Make half a plate. Why make a full plate? You understand? We are responsible for all of this waste. And we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This wealth that we have doesn't belong to us. It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs and necessities. And we need to spend it in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not be extravagant. And not be excessive. And not be wasteful. And neither be completely miserable and miserly and stingy. And your children are struggling and they're suffering. Or your family or everybody else. No, even that is haram as well. Not to be extravagant, not to be miserly, but being moderate and balanced and in the middle. And I'll give you some simple examples from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You might think that, I'm going to talk about something luxurious, but look at how simple this example is. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that there is a bedding for a man. What does bedding mean? Chadar, sirana, you know, the one that we put on our beds. It's called bedding, you know. The Prophet says that there is a bedding for a man. There is a bedding for his wife. And there is a bedding for his guest. Kitne bedding hoge? Three. Husband, wife, and guest. Children obviously are included in the family. And the Prophet says the fourth one is for shaitan. Why? Because you're being excessive. Now how much do we have in our homes? This is just a bedding. It applies to clothing as well. And all of these other things. We're just buying and buying and buying. But are we actually using and using and using? How many times can you sleep on a bedding? You can only sleep on one bed. So you only need one bedding. When you need to wash it and put it back on. One bedding for a man, one for a woman, one for a guest, and the fourth is for the shaitan. I.e. we don't waste even money on something as simple as bedding. We need to be careful in that consideration as well. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he left this physical dunya, he did not leave any money behind, except he left a white riding mule. He left his arms, his armory, and he left a piece of land which he left in charity. That's all he left. Now imagine this very moment in time, me, you, every single one of us in the masjid or those listening at home, if you were to die this instant, your house would be full. And it'd take us probably days and weeks to get rid of all of the kachra. All of your clothes from your wardrobe, from your desk, from your drawers, all of your bedding, all of these doodah daddy and these things that we've collected all over our life. You'll have to pay somebody. This is the reality. You have to pay somebody to come to your home and to remove all of that and to get rid of it. Even though you've probably spent thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds on those things. This is what has happened. The Prophet ﷺ, he was so simple, he used to milk his own goat, he used to mend his own clothes, he would repair his own shoes, he would help out in the household. Today, throw this away. It's throwaway fashion, it's fast fashion, throw it away. Doesn't matter, I'll buy it again. It's only £10, it's only £20, this, that. Why? Are you better than the Prophet ﷺ? We're not. We need to think about this extravagance. The Prophet ﷺ would mend his own clothes, he'd fix his own shoes, milk his own goat, clean his own home. Yet here we are, we are ready. It doesn't matter, it's only £50, it's only £100. We are ready to buy, and throw. Now coming on to consumerism, because this is all part of the extravagance. Consumerism wants you to always get more. To fill this void in your heart, which can never be filled. And we're coming back to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Remember I said he was a billionaire. A billionaire. I'm going to give you real facts and figures on how he was a billionaire. And then I'll show you how he was a humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was a very rich man. When somebody passes away, what do we leave behind? We leave behind our inheritance. Wirasat is what we call, we leave our inheritance for our family, for your wife, for your son, for your daughters, or for your parents, if they are alive, they get a share of your inheritance. Now, I'm just going to give you a simple example. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, when he passed away, 1/8 of your estate, 1/8, kitna? Atwan, sir, 1/8. 1/8 of his estate went to his wife. Do you know how much that was? It was 80,000 dinars. Just 1/8 of his estate. 80,000 dinars. And I'm going to explain what 80,000 dinar means in this day and age. One dinar is the equivalent of 4.25 grams of gold. 4.25 grams of gold. And today, 1 gram of gold is approximately 51 pounds. 51 pounds. So then one dinar is the equivalent of over 200 pounds. One dinar. And he left his wife 80,000 dinars. Do you know what the math is of 80,000 dinar based on 4.25 grams of gold in weight times what is the value today of 51 pounds? He left his wife 1/8 of his estate, which was 17,340,000 pounds for his wife. Just his wife, 1/8. And if you multiply that by 8, because that's his full estate, that's over 138 million pounds, 720,000. That's how much he left. He was no ordinary man. He was a billionaire of his time. When he left goals of bricks. They had to use axes to break down those bricks. And they mentioned that the people who were cutting the bricks with the axes had blisters in their hands because they were cutting all day. This is how much gold he had. And he left so many thousands of camels and goats. But in spite of all of this wealth, he used to live a very, very simple life. He never used to have more than 2 items in his food when he used to sit down for a meal. He used to wear very, very simple clothes. And people never used to recognize, oh, Abdul Rahman Jare. You know, now if somebody rich comes, you'll see them from a mile. You'll see their entourage, you'll see their secretary, you'll see everybody. And he was just an ordinary man, and you'd see that you wouldn't be able to recognize there is a multi-billionaire going there. This is how they live their lives. But it's radical. Thoda ji paisa aa jave na? We have a little bit of money. Aye, aye, aye. Tori chip badal jandi hai. You see, you know, like, exactly. You do the walk and you do the talk and you say, yeah, man. This look at Abdul Rahman. Were you more richer than Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala? 138 million pounds. That's just what he left. Imagine what he used during his lifetime. But he was Ibadur Rahman and he worked and he did his trading and business and everything, but he also gave in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not extravagant and neither was he a stingy man. He gave and he lived a moderate and balanced life. Today, our brains go, tu kaun hai? Why are you talking to me? Teri ki waqt hai? We don't even give entertain people. Secretary na gal kariyo, phone kariyo, dekhange, calendar dekhange. This is the type of how our conversations change. But look at Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, may Allah be pleased with him. Sayyidina Umar, who was the Khalifa, the second Khalifa of Muslims, he visited his daughter Sayyida Hafsa, and she offered him curry with olive oil. Salan, with what? With olive oil, two things, a curry with olive oil. And look what at the response of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, 2 courses in one meal, by Allah, I will not partake in this. This is extravagant. This is excessive. It was 2 things in one meal. No, give me 1 thing. That's it. This is us hi kisi de mehman de ghar chale jaiye, we go to some guest house, somebody invites us, unless they have a full spread, 3-4 starters, 2-3 mains and salads and fruits and everything, at least 2-3 desserts, sada mu ni siddhanda. We don't even smile at them or say thank you to them properly. We say bari mehman nawazi ki thi. What's this? This is Umar, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, saying to his own daughter, what is this excessiveness? What is this extravagance? You're giving me two things for the meal? No, only one. I will not partake in this. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, the Khalifa of Islam, once a delegation of people came to him. They knocked on his door. They wanted to meet him. And he took a prolonged period of time to go and meet them, and they just waited outside. And finally, when he went, they asked, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why did you take so long? And look at the response of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. He mentions that my clothes became dirty, so I washed them and then I was waiting for them to dry so that I could then put it on and come and see you. We have one dog on our sleeve, on our kameez, and anywhere, we throw it just there. Expect our wife and everybody else just to wash it and quickly get the other thing. This is Amir al-Mu'mineen. My clothes became dirty. I washed them. I was waiting for them to dry so that I could come out and visit you. They didn't have israf. They didn't have extravagance. They didn't have this in their life. They were very, very simple. Even though they had a stipend from the government, even though they had money coming in, they were all of the wealth. But they lived a very balanced and moderate life, because the more you show off, the more arrogant you become, and that arrogance comes into your heart. But the more humble you remain, the more closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wedding of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and karamallahu wajh al-kareem, it was considered to be a feast of that time. But what did it have? When somebody says to you, badi daawat hai, today there's a big feast, what would you expect? Today somebody says to you, what's a feast? And you say, if it's nothing less than nawabs, then I'm not going to bother going. We want at least 20, 30, 40 dishes. This was a feast at that time. What was the feast? Dates, barley bread, cheese and soup. That's all it was. Now imagine somebody serving that to you. Imagine somebody just giving dal to you when you go to their home. What is our reaction? But this is the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ being married off, and this was considered to be a lavish feast at that time. But nowadays, what do? We have no appreciation left. Why is it that we don't appreciate the qurbani meat on Eid al-Adha? All year, ka ke, ton ke na. When it comes to the actual feast of Eid al-Adha, we don't enjoy it. It's just another day, because we're always eating all of these things. During the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, he was actually about to ban meat by eating it every second day or third day. He goes, no, you should only eat it once a week. People were eating it more and more because they had more money coming in, and they started eating more and more. He goes, no, he was about to ban it by overeating and consuming red meat. Abu Zar, he was walking with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. I just want you to imagine this for those people who've been to Madinatul Munawwara, those people who've seen the Mount of Uhud. They can, huh? You've seen it in photos, and you've perhaps seen it in real life as well. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is walking with Sayyidina Abu Dar, and he's walking with him, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasalam mentions that, Ya Aba Zar, that if this mountain of Uhud, a mountain of Uhud is 1,000 meters high, 4.5 meters long, 4.5 miles long. So it's not a small mountain, 1,000 meters high, 4.5 miles in length. And the Prophet ﷺ says that if this mountain of Uhud were to be turned into gold, it would not take 3 days, but I would give it all away in charity. 3 days. The mountain of Uhud in gold, 3 days would not go by, but I would give it all in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadiqul das viti chali hazar come into our bank account, then what do we do with it? We keep it for a rainy day. You don't know when you're going to die, what day that's going to be. We keep thinking, yes, it's important to plan ahead, but we should be giving more in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that al-aktharun hum aqalluna yawm al-qiyamah, that the one who have a lot in the dunya, but don't spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the ones who are going to be the very few and insignificant and the minute on the day of Qiyamah. But those who had a little and gave in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are the ones who will be the most on the day of Qiyamah, because they gave in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, giving to orphans, giving to widows, giving to the destitute and the poor, building masajid, building wells, building schools, helping the needy, helping those who are worthy, giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran again and again, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu anfiku, anfiku, anfiku. If you believe, then give. Give to the fuqara, give to the masakim, give to the ghareeb, give to the orphan, give to the widow, give to those people. Who is telling you? Allah is telling you. Who gave you the money? Allah gave you the money and He is telling you to give it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. These people who establish the salah and they believe in the unseen, what do? And whatever Allah has given them, they give back in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we just me. But the people, they're giving in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, يَدْخُلُوا فُقَرَاءُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ الْجَنَّةِ قَبْلَ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ بِخَمْسُمِئَةِ عَامٍ. That the fuqara, that the ghareeb people, the ghareeb Muslims, will enter into Jannah before the rich people. Do you know in the dunya today, when you're rich, you pass everybody. You go fast track, you go VIP, you don't even go through all of the normal routes at an airport or anywhere else. Special place, special route, special everything. They go right at the front because VIP, very VIP, because money talks, yes? And the ghareeb, and they stand in line all day just to get what they need to get. And Prophet mentions that fuqara al-muslimun, that the ghareeb people, the destitute who didn't have much, they will enter into Jannah before all of the Amir. Before all of the Amir, bi khamsu mi'ati amin, by 500 years. Imagine today you ask an Amir person, wait here 5 minutes. They'll look down at you, they say, who do you think you are? 5 minutes? I won't stand here for 5 seconds. How dare you tell me to wait here for 5 minutes? But they'll have to wait there 500 years. Then I see all of the ghareebs going to Jannah first. Why? Those ghareeb people, they remained patient and they persevered. They didn't live an extravagant life. And whatever they had, they gave something always in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. These Amir people, they had everything. They had no heart. And they were extravagant. And they didn't give in the way of Allah. They were miserly, they were stingy, they were bakhil. And Allah Ta'ala, they're terawatiun. Pansu sal. 500 years, wait here and watch all of these people go before you. This is how it will be on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, Yabna Adam, anfiq. That, O son of Adam, give whatever you have, whatever little you have. No, it doesn't mean give everything that you have. We can all give 10 pence, we can all give a pound, we can all give 5 pounds. It's not hard for us. We spend more money on fish and chips and burgers and so many other things. When it comes to Jummah anywhere else, we always look for the chain, we're like, Esekoniji. Allah saying, give in the way, give in my way. I'm telling you to give. When you give, I will give you. Unfiq alayk. I will give you whatever you want. You give in the way of Allah, Allah gives you 10 folds, 100 times. They ought to say. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So the ibadur rahman, they have wealth. But they are not extravagant in the way that they live their lives. Neither are they stingy or miserly. They are balanced. They are balanced. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Al-bukhlu wal-iman la yajtami'an fi qalbi mu'min." That bukhl, what does bukhl mean? Being completely stingy and miserly, bakhil, you know, sikhane. Wal-iman, bukhl and iman can never coexist in the heart. Either there'll be iman in the heart, and it will kick, you know, bukhl out. Or bukhl will be in your heart, it will kick the iman out. There's only one thing can stay. Either you're sakhi and you're ghani and you have iman, or either you're bakhil and you're stingy, and then stinginess will remain in your heart. They cannot coexist. Fi qalbi mu'min, in the heart of a true believer, it will only be one, because iman always tells you, doesn't matter, Allah orders, Allah khayar karsi, because with their du'as, etc., you'll get more barakah. But when you are bakhil, no, ekstra karsan, what ekstra karsan, yeah, you don't have trust and yakin and tawakkul in Allah, and you don't give in the way of Allah, even though Allah Ta'ala says, my people they give day and night, my people give openly and hiddenly, my people give whenever I call them to give, and they give before the last day, anfiqu mimma min qabli an ya'tiya yawmul la bay', give before the day comes where you can no longer give anymore. And even the person on the day of Qiyamah will say one thing to Allah, oh Allah, give me one chance to go back to the dunya so I can go and give sadaqah. Allah says, oh, one, no more opportunity. The opportunity you had in the dunya, that's it, now the doors are closed. But he will realize the power of giving in the way of Allah on that day. So this is very, very important. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned there is no day that a person wakes up that two angels come down from the heaven, and one of them says to the individual, says to Allah, oh Allah, compensate the one who spends. Oh Allah, give the person who gives in your way, Allah, give him more. And the other angel says, oh Allah, destroy the person who withholds. So angels are either doing dua for you, Allah, denda pe nu orde, and the ones who are not giving, Allah Ta'ala inu tabah karte. Who do you want praying for you? Every single day, two angels are coming down, either praying for you or against you. So every day, give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Money spent in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal is money which you have invested in your akhirah, invested in your qabr, invested on the day of Qiyamah. You have invested in your hereafter. Money spent on sadaqah is again money that is safely invested. Money spent on your family again is money that is never wasted. You know, for every other money, where did you spend this? Why did you do this? This sara hisab kitab. But money fi sabilillah, money on sadaqah, and money on your family, koi hisab kitab nahi. Because why? Those are necessities and those are things that they need. Even on your family as well, don't be extravagant. All the things that they need, because if you give too much, even all bigger than them. So again, the Prophet ﷺ with food and eating, clothing, it would always be moderate. The Sahaba Ikram would be moderate as well. And just remember at this point as well that your wife's money is only her money. This is an important point. The husband's money is the wife's money. She can use it as she pleases, obviously within reason and within necessity. But whatever the wife earns, it is solely 100% her money. If she wants to spend it on the family, she gets extra reward. She wants to spend it on herself, undi marzi. But the husband cannot force her, compel her to say, manu paise de. No, it doesn't work like that. Your money is hers, her money is only hers. But we have a duty to make sure that we maintain that balance in our relationship. But ask yourself this question, where will you take your money? Did Abdul Rahman ibn Auf take his money to his grave? No, he didn't. When we go, your family goes with you to the grave, your wealth goes with you to the grave, and your a'mal go to you with you to the grave. Family returns, wealth returns, only your a'mal stay with you. So if you have money, now is the time to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it is too late. Invest in your akhirah, have this balance, and spend on the necessities of life. Necessity is a very important thing. Spend on the necessities in life and spend moderately and be balanced in your food, in your drink, in your clothing, in your home, in your appliances, in every single aspect of your life. Always ask yourself, do I need this? Do I want this? Is this necessary for me? Can I not spend this somewhere else, somewhere better in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla? So neither be stingy, neither be extravagant. Be from those ibadur rahman that they have money, but إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُصْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَكْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They're in the middle ground, in the middle path, being balanced and living their life like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to become the ibadur rahman and spend wisely and spend moderately in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Jazakumullahu khairan.